John chapter 19 tonight. I'd like to begin reading here in verse number 16 and try to get the message across tonight the Lord's put in her heart. I want to say after this morning, I'm glad that I have a king besides Caesar. Amen. Thank the Lord for King Jesus. I like that song, Brother Ralph. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I thought about it a while ago. I wonder how that question would be answered if somebody asked you, what is an old-time Christian? What's that mean, to be an old-time Christian? Well, I'm not going to go into all the things that cross my mind, but one of them would be that's somebody that believes this book, that this book is the final authority. You remember John said that you might believe. These are written that you might believe. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight. Start with verse number 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was woven, was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it or tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to his disciple, to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record. That's John is speaking of himself. He that saw it bare record, and his record is true. How many believes that? And he knoweth that he saith true. Notice these words again, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture shall be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. I believe we looked at that in Zechariah on Wednesday night. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. If correctly read, that's verse 16 down through verse number 42. You can be seated. Pray with us tonight. Father, thank you this evening for the privilege to have eyes to be able to read the Word of God, to have, Lord, a heart that because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, to be able to understand and glean things from the Word of God as you show them to us. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us, clothe us in our calling, make this pastor an encouragement to his dear people. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd encourage the heart of that one that doesn't know you. Encourage them, Lord, to trust you, to know, Lord, that you're trustworthy. God, that it's a step of faith to take Jesus as their Savior. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What I'd like to talk to you about tonight, there's four things real briefly that God spoke to my heart about in the chapter. I'm not sure if I'll be finished with the chapter, but I'm on a thought tonight, and I see another thought in the chapter, but we may back up. We'll just try to be led of the Lord and catch that thought maybe next Sunday morning. But what I want to look at tonight is some things that are important to Jesus. How many believes that there's a way when a person comes to the end of their life, Jesus here is coming to the end of the way, how many believes there's things just oozing out of the Scripture that are important to the Son of God? And I want to show you some of those things tonight that the Lord spoke to me about. The first thing I want to talk to you about tonight, our forgiveness is important to Jesus. You see, that's why he's going through this. That's why the Bible said they delivered him, therefore, to be crucified. You might say, well, preacher, that's elementary. Everybody knows that. Really? I want you to know tonight, do you and I treat others that are unsaved like it's important that they experience the forgiveness of God? This forgiveness was bought and paid for at Calvary. There is no forgiveness apart from the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no payment for sin apart from the precious blood that ran down his brow, his back, from his feet, from his hands, and eventually from his side as that soldier stuck the spear. I want you to know tonight that my forgiveness and your forgiveness, forgiveness of sin, is important to the Son of God. That's why he was willing to go all the way, not just to Calvary, but through Calvary, and go through what he went through for you and for me. Amen. Tonight I'm forgiven. I thank God I am forgiven. My past sin is forgiven. My present sin, my future sin. That's what I see in the Bible, amen. Either the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin or we're all in trouble. If I had to stand and give an account to God for one sin, I could not enter in to heaven. But his righteousness has been imputed to my account. My sin has been imputed to his account. And I've experienced the forgiveness of a loving God. I believe it's important to Jesus. I believe that's why he said, go into all the world. This man that's coming, one thing that impressed me in the email, I mean impressed me greatly in the email, is that he and his wife will not be with him Wednesday night. She's having a baby and has to see the doctor Wednesday there in Ohio. They're about 4 hours from here. But he's coming, I think, bringing his four-year-old girl. So, Miss Eve, you might be babysitting while he's preaching Wednesday night. Amen. Don't leave that up to me. Ask Sawyer. Amen. Miss Eve says, will you watch him? Yeah, I will until I forget. Amen. I'll be watching something else. Amen. But anyway, what impressed me about, he's going to Latin America. That's a place that is just, for lack of a better way to put it, overtaken with Catholicism. It's a hard area to work. And yet, God, in 14 months, Brother David, has allowed this man to raise 65% of his support. You can ask any pastor. You can ask any missionary. That's phenomenal what God has done in that young man's life. I'm interested in meeting him, and the church meeting him. But God is interested in their forgiveness down there. Amen. God knows that the forgiveness does not come through the sacraments. The forgiveness comes through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. In these last days of his life, he's showing us what's near to his heart. That's our forgiveness. The second thing I want you to see is that what God is interested in, and we need to get a hold of this, is our families. One of the last things on the mind and the heart of Jesus was his mother. When you look at it here in the scripture, I believe it's verse number 25, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. I want to tell you something, beloved. Listen, we cannot put enough emphasis on the family. God loves the family. And God is interested in the family. In the book of Genesis, God ordained the family. And one of the last things we see in the heart and the mind of Jesus is the family before he leaves out of this world. Amen. Jesus is a family man. He believes, listen, you know the kind of family where there's a man and the kind of family where there's a woman. And the kind of family, if it's possible to have children, amen, that was his design for the family. And I believe God is telling us here, I've got a mother standing there. She's going to need somebody to take care of her. I believe it's obvious that Joseph must have already passed away, or his mother would not have been standing there alone. And he wanted her taken care of. Beloved, let me say this to you. Every dad ought to do his best, listen to me carefully, to want to see his family taken care of. I said every dad ought to do his best to want to see his family taken care of. I'm going to tell you, it would hurt me in my heart if I was laying somewhere about to breathe my last breath and meet Jesus and know that my wife was not taken care of. That would hurt me in my heart. Jesus is letting us see his heart here. He loves his mother. He loves John. John, you've stuck with me, and I'm going to stick with you. Mom, you've stuck with me, and I'm going to stick with you. He's interested in the family. It's important to him. I believe we're living in a generation where the family is a take it or leave it. Somebody help me. But that's not the attitude of the Word of God. God loves the family. I just left a funeral home a little while ago. What a blessing. I don't know that I've ever seen this, Brother Rose, but this lady that passed, I've preached to her in revival meetings before, to her family, her grandson, to her son in revival meetings. Brother Sam, she was 96 years old. Now you listen to me. She had 144 grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great, great, great grandchildren. What about that? I think I got that right. Then there was greats, great greats, and great, great, greats grandchildren. 144. I told her grandson, I said, I think she was trying to start a tribe in Israel. Amen. But what a heritage, what a blessing, amen, to think about the family. And I looked at Brother Scott, he's my neighbor, and I said, Brother Scott, I was looking at the pictures they were playing there on the screen. I said, you're in a lot of those pictures. I said, she loved you, brother. He looked at me and he said, she loved us all.
I like that. That's the way the family's supposed to be. I told him about a time when we visited from Maryland. We lived up there and we visited down in Virginia where my mom's parents were still living. And my Granny Dunn, we called her, she gave us all a silver dollar when we visited that time. I had a friend with me that just took the trip with us and come down. Brother David, he had to have one too. She made sure that he was treated just like her own grandchild. That's the way the old-timers believed it was supposed to be. Amen. The family, it was important. Love one another. It's important. It's important in the family of God too, beloved. Amen. Paul has a lot to say about God's people loving one another. He has a lot to say about the family of God. Our forgiveness is important to Jesus. Our families are important to Jesus. Let me give you this tonight. Our faith is important to Jesus. All of this is happening, John said here in verse number 35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. Turn with me to 1 John just a minute. God just spoke to my heart about a verse of Scripture. 1 John chapter number 5. Would you look with me in verse number 20 of 1 John chapter 5? The Bible said, and we know, well, let me back up to verse number 19 since we're talking about that other king this morning. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Do we know that tonight? Do we know that He's come? That He died on an old rugged cross? That they buried Him? That He rose again the third day? The Bible said we know the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. John is saying in verse number 35, I'm bearing record. I'm giving record. The record's true. We know that He saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of Him shall not be broken. Think about our faith for just a moment. It's important to God. He's writing us a whole book that you might believe. And that believing you might have life through His name. Think about our faith for just a moment. I looked at some things and I wanted to share this with you. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. The Bible, 12 times in the Bible, you have the Scripture was fulfilled, or the Scriptures were fulfilled. 12 times in the Word of God. You said, preacher, what's that got to do with our faith? Well, if you look in the Bible, you know, Jesus said, I have the power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men. This said He's speaking about what the death that He would die. Think about the Scriptures in the Bible. 12 times the Word of God said, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. Look at it with me in John chapter 19. In verse number 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. In verse 28, Jesus knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Here's what God's trying to say. I've shown you over and over and over again, when I say something, it's going to come to pass just like I said it. Why is He doing that? Because He wants us to be able to have confidence in the Word of God. And beloved, listen, people look at you like a calf looking at a new gate when you talk about a world that's going to be on fire, a third of the water turning to blood, a third of the world being on fire, talk about the disease and the pestilence, talk about the Antichrist that's going to give you peace and prosperity for 3.5 years, talk about the judgment of God that's going to fall. But listen, there's a reason that I believe the book of Revelation, because everything that he's already said would happen, happened just like he said. Now, if you had a guy with a track record, if the Bible said this and it never happened, and it said this and it never happened, it said this and it never happened, then we would have reason to doubt. But God said it and it happened. God said it and it happened. God said it and it happened. Think about this. 12 times in the Word of God that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Listen to me. 5 of them are in the book of John. Listen to me. 3 of them are in this chapter. John is saying, I want you to believe. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is trustworthy. What a blessing. Verse number 37, and again, another Scripture saith. Now, I didn't even count that one. I just used the phrase that the Scripture or Scriptures might be fulfilled. But he's saying it again in a little different manner in verse 37. Again, another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. You remember us going through Zechariah chapter 12 on Wednesday night. If you were here, how many were here Wednesday night? You look at verse 1. Who's talking? The Bible said the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You get into verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. You cannot deny it. Read Zechariah chapter number 12. You go down through the verses and you cannot deny it's God talking. It's the Lord talking. And you get to verse 10 and it says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who's talking? God. Who was pierced? The Lord Jesus Christ was pierced on an old rugged cross. One and the same. Amen. That's why we believe in the deity, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith, beloved, is important. If you look at verse 38 down through verse number 41, I believe there's some men here that experienced this faith. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, look at this, it's sad, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. You know what I say? Listen to me carefully. If we have to deny this book to stay in this church, we ought to pray we get kicked out of this church. If we have to deny the name of Jesus to stay in an organization, we need to get out of that organization, kicked out or otherwise. Amen. Here's Joseph. He has faith secretly for fear of the Jews. He besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He gained therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus. That blesses my heart. You say, preacher, are you sure it's that Nicodemus? Yeah, it's that one which at first came to Jesus by night. I believe with all my heart there come a time in Nicodemus' life when he said he's right and I'm wrong. He is who he said he is. You tell me why in God's name he would be interested in burying the Lord Jesus and helping with his burial. If he was still part, you remember Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, if he was still part of that hatred, that wickedness that was hating the Lord Jesus, why would he be interested in burying Jesus? He came at first by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. That's expensive in that day. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes. You know, I'm not trying to be sensational, but I wonder, Brother Preston, if you had sat down and had that conversation with Jesus that night, I wonder as you were winding, if you wouldn't be weeping. I wonder if you wouldn't be thinking, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is interested in our faith. He wants us to believe him. Nicodemus, he took the time with Nicodemus because he wanted Nicodemus to believe him. And I believe that he did. The Bible said here, then took they the body of Jesus, wound in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein never a man was laid. Listen to a couple of quotes that I looked at today, and I wanted to share them with you concerning faith. Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that thou mayest believe, but believe that thou mayest understand. I don't believe Nicodemus could have ever understood first. He had to believe first, and then God helped him to understand. Some people say that, well, believing is seeing, but in the Word of God, it's backwards. Beloved, no, I'm sorry, the world says seeing is believing. In the Word of God, we believe, and then we see the goodness of God. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. God our Father, Martin Luther said, has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. You think about that tonight. Beloved, we're leaving here, like Brother John talked about this morning. Old or young, it doesn't matter. We're leaving here one day after a while. Somebody young may leave here before somebody old. We don't know when we're leaving here. We know this. We have a home in heaven if we have Jesus as our Savior in our heart. Amen. I thought about this. I read this and it blessed my heart. Brother John asked the question this morning, do we really believe it? Remember that, Brother John, when you're teaching. You've got these, there's kind of simple truths, but do we really believe it? Listen to this. It'll bless your heart. Edna Butterfield, she said this, my husband Ron once taught a class of mentally impaired teenagers, looking at his students' capabilities rather than their limitations. Ron got them to play chess, to restore furniture, and to repair electrical appliances. I guess, Brother John, if you was working with them, you'd teach them how to fix a fiddle. Amen. This man took interest in this group of young people. Most important, he taught them to believe in themselves. Young Bobby soon proved how well he had learned that last lesson. One day he brought in a broken toaster to repair. He carried the toaster tucked under one arm and a half a loaf of bread tucked onto the other arm. Kind of reminds me of Jordan in the basement years ago, my grandson, 4 years old. When I told him we needed to pray for Josh. Josh had pneumonia. You could hear him wheezing. He was very sick. We're laying on the bed about from here to the organ across the basement from my daughter and Josh. He said, you pray, Papa. So we just lay in there. I didn't get up and kneel. We just lay in there in the bed and I closed my eyes and I prayed for Josh. Jordan bounced up off the bed when I said amen, ran across the basement and hovered over his little brother and said, Joshy, you feel better? I will tell you something. God could use the kids to teach us some lessons. Amen. But I want God to teach us here tonight that one of the last things in the heart and the mind of Jesus was our faith. He wanted us to believe him. He wanted us to trust him. He said, I'm giving you everything I'm giving you that you might believe. 12 times in the Word of God that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Let me get to this last thing and I'm done. What's Jesus interested in? Well, he's interested in our future. I believe I've got a bright future. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 42. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. How many believes it was kind of bleak around Jerusalem? Kind of a dark moment. But you see, Jesus had already said that that wasn't the end. It reminded me of something. Let me just say this to you. We don't know who, even among us tonight, we don't know whose sepulcher is nigh at hand. I heard a preacher say this years ago, and I never have forgotten it. He said, your casket may be in town. It may be already in stock at the funeral home. It may already be in Kingsport or Church Hill. It may already be in town. You say, preacher, why would you talk about that? Because my God knows that I have a future beyond the casket and beyond the sepulcher and beyond the things of this world. And Jesus, when he bowed his head and said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know where I'm going when I leave this world. I'm going into his hands. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm glad the Lord made a way that my future doesn't have to be dark. It doesn't have to be bleak. It doesn't have to be something that, Brother John, we dread. It can be something that we believe the Word of God and say, listen, we have a future. The songwriter said it like this, I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I believe that tonight. Amen. Took me back to Mom and Dad. Mom in 2012, Dad in 2015. They're leaving this world, and people, I mean, not just one or two, but so many would say, I'm the oldest of six kids. I used to tell them in prison, I'm the oldest and the ugliest. It gets better from here. Amen. They used to say, y'all sure are handling this awful well. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. You know what I believe? It hurt me in my heart when I walked in that room that night. My daddy was gone. It hurt me in my heart. I had a few minutes that I just spent with his body there. You say, preacher, why did it hurt so bad? Because we loved each other so much. Yeah. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Here comes faith, Brother Preston. Says it's all right. Dad's home. Mom's home. We have a future tonight that is out of this world. And I don't just say that for a play on words. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims, strangers. But we have a future tonight. And Jesus, even in his dying days, he understood that in order for us to have a future that's bright, he had to go to Calvary and give his life for you and for me. I appreciate you being here tonight. How many believes these things are important to the Lord? Our forgiveness. It's important to the Lord that you be forgiven. It's important to the Lord that you have faith and believe him, and that you have a family that trusts him, a family according to the Word of God. And it's important to the Lord that we understand we have a future, a bright future as the children of God. Somebody said one time, said the church is going down. They'll talk about every once in a while the numbers doing, you know, diving, not too many of the numbers among the atheists are growing, and the numbers among the, lots of times they'll take the Southern Baptist numbers and say they're going down. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you'll get online, listen to that message, Brother Sam, you've been listening to it today, you'd understand, beloved, the numbers might be going down. Praise God, we're fixing to go up. Amen. We're fixing to go up. Go up and be with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. God, may these things that are important to you, may they be important to us. May we understand tonight. May we understand how much you love us, how much you care for us. Help us to understand how bright our future is. Lord, I pray tonight for the individual that does not yet know you. God, I pray that some way, God, they would sense your love, your compassion. Some way they could get just a glimpse of Calvary. Lord, that some way you'd break through in their life. They'd trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd increase our faith as the children of God. Make us men and women of faith. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, God, when we doubt you. Help us, our Lord, to have the kind of confidence that that little boy had when he had a toaster under one arm and a half a loaf of bread under the other arm. Oh, God, tonight, give us that childlike faith. Help us, Lord, in the days ahead. Our heads are bowed tonight. Our eyes are closed.